Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's good to have you back with us. I'm going to open with a word of prayer and jump right in. Well, Father, we just want to pause right now and thank you for this opportunity to take a break from work and just to reflect on you and on what you tell us in your word. We ask that you would guide our time today and use it to accomplish your purposes. Father, I just want to pray your blessing on each of the employees on this call and the employees that work for Pierce, but were not able to join us today, that you would just meet them where they are in a very unique and powerful way. And Father, we also want to pray for the families that were involved in that tragedy in Tennessee this week and ask that you would just comfort the families who lost loved ones, the family and friends of those who lost loved ones, and that they might find and experience a peace from you that doesn't even make sense in the midst of this. We just pray for your protection over our country and, Lord, over this world. We really need an outpouring of your spirit in a new and fresh way. And so we lift all this to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so today I want to talk about two concepts that kind of go hand in hand, and they are faith and God's promises. I want to start by reading a couple of verses to you found in Hebrews 11, which is the Faith Hall of Fame. It says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. All these people who were still living by faith when they died, they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. They admitted that they were aliens and strangers on the earth." That passage, the last verse, is actually referring to the number of Old Testament people who a small description about what they did or what they accomplished and how they did it by faith. Faith is the only thing, it says, that is the only way to please God. What I wanted to talk about today, though, is how does faith correlate with God's promises? In Matthew 17, 20, Jesus was talking. The disciples had tried to perform a miracle, and they failed. And they were asking Jesus, why did they fail? And Jesus replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth. If you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move here,' or 'There,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible for you." In that verse in Matthew 17, Jesus is making the point that the amount of our faith is not the issue. He says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, which in that time, that was probably one of the smallest known particles that there is. He says, if you have that much faith, you can move a mountain, you can tell this tree to be uprooted and planted in the ocean, and it would happen. The point Jesus is trying to make there is the amount of faith that you have isn't the issue. It's what your faith is in that makes the difference. In Numbers 23:19, it says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Has he spoken and will it not come true?" That verse says that God is faithful. And that's one of, hundreds of verses in the Bible that talk about the faithfulness of God. If God said he's going to do it, you can go to the bank on it. It's going to be done. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ, so that through him, the amen is spoken to us by the glory of God." Paul is telling the Corinthians that all of the promises that God has made from the beginning of time to that point are yes in Christ. So if you have a relationship with God through Christ, every promise God has made is true for you. Now, a few weeks ago, I was doing a study for the Navigators, which is a ministry that I work for. And part of that study is we looked at the history, and I was reminded of something that I had learned years ago. And that is, in the late 1930s, when a man by the name of Dawson Trotman, he was 20 years old, came to know the Lord. He dared to believe God. He dared to trust God. And he had been a Christian for about 3 or 4 years, and he got a real heavy burden on his heart for the world. And so for 40 consecutive days, he invited another man to join him, but he would hike up into the mountains outside of San Diego. He would lay out a world map, and he would begin to put his finger on different cities and different countries all over the world. And with his Bible open, he would find promises, most of which were in Isaiah. And he would ask God to give him a man or a woman in each of those cities and in each of those countries. Well, today, the Navigators is a ministry with over 5,000 staff in every state in the country and in over 50 countries around the world. And we have a staff person in every one of those cities that Trotman believed God, claimed a promise, and said he was trusting God to put a man in that war, in that city or in that country. That really excites me and encourages me, but it challenges me to think, what are the promises that God has made that I'm trusting him for? Now, if you've put your faith in Jesus, if you profess to be a Christian, then whether you realize it or not, the reason you're a Christian is because you have dared to believe the promises that God made in his word about how to become his child. In John 5:24, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, he who hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, will not be condemned, and is passed from death to life." That's a promise that Jesus made, that if we believe in him and if we trust in him, we will spend eternity with him in heaven. So anybody who professes to be a Christian has already taken God up on at least one promise, and that is the promise of eternal life. But the Bible says that there are thousands of promises that God has made for us and to us. In Romans 8, Paul said that he who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? God has made hundreds or thousands of promises that he wants us to take him up on. And just like we take him up on the promise of salvation, there are promises of God's peace, God's protection, God's provision, his strength, his desire and ability to replicate himself through us in ministry, and the list goes on and on. But just like the promise in John 5:24, it's a universal promise. God gave his son for the whole world, but only those who actually believe him and take him up on that promise get the benefit of that promise. Well, that principle is also true for all these other promises. The promise of peace, Isaiah 26:3, "I will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is fixed on me." That's a promise that God has made, that he will give us peace in the midst of trying and stressful times. But we have to claim it. We have to say, "God, I'm going to trust you to do that," and ask him to fulfill that promise. Or, "I'm going to give men in exchange for you, people in exchange for your life." Isaiah 55, "God, I trust that when I'm gone, there will be people walking on this planet who are following you because of my life." Those are promises that God has made for all of us, but we have to take him up on it. So my encouragement and my challenge to you today is to take some time over the weekend or in the next few days and just reflect on what are the promises that God has made that I am trusting him to fulfill, that every morning I'm saying, God, make this happen in my life or around me because you've said you're going to do it. I'm choosing to believe you to fulfill your word. I want to encourage you to think about those. And if you're like, I have no idea where there are promises, again, shoot me an email. I can give you some references and some things to begin to look at. But really start by just asking God, God, would you give me promises that you have made that you would have me trust you for so that I can see them fulfilled while I'm here on this planet? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've given us your word. And in your word, you've given us great and precious promises that you want to fulfill. And as we dare to believe you and as we dare to trust you, your word tells us that because you're faithful, you will bring that to pass. Thank you for the faith to believe that. I pray that you'll open our eyes to promises that as we trust you with them, it will change the world. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.